Well, Lord Mayor, ladies and gentlemen, indeed it's a great privilege to be able to have the opportunity to say a few words with you this evening about the Aviation 2050. And my theme is addressing the question, are we doing enough? Lord Mayor, you introduced me as the Vice President of the Royal Academy of Engineering, and it would be remiss of me on behalf of the Royal Academy of Engineering not to welcome you here, by the way. It's not the normal venue for FST, but we're very, very proud and privileged that you are holding the debate here. There's some amazing research and technology developments going on here in the UK, in business, in our research technology organisations, and across our university network. And I believe the contribution through the establishment of organisations like ATI, the Aerospace Technology Institute, the UKRI funding, and the coordination is making a real, real difference. But my challenge for this evening is particularly around Aviation 2050 and the future of flight industrial strategy challenge enough. And the challenge is it ambitious enough? Is it sufficiently joined up? And is it being implemented fast enough? Aviation is a long-term business, and you know, it's interesting. Just this year, we celebrate 50 years since the first flight of Concorde. It's 50 years this very week since man first set foot on the moon. Just last month, we celebrated 50 years since the formation of Airbus. And this August, we're celebrating 100 years since the formation of what is now British Airways. 2050 in aerospace terms is just round the corner. It's just a heartbeat away. And to meet the challenges of 2050, the nature of this business is we now need to move fast and we now need to act now. Last month saw the biannual Paris Air Show. Sustainability played a key role in the messages from the show, with all the players expressing an increasing recognition that these new technologies and operational procedures must become more environmentally friendly. Indeed, seven of the world's major aviation manufacturers issued a joint statement and commitment to reduce CO2 emissions to half of 2005 levels by 2050. And to limit net growth by 2020. And in my conversations with the CTO of Airbus, for example, she described her top three priorities as CTO in Airbus as being zero carbonisation, and zero carbonisation. So there's little doubt in my mind about 2050 priorities in that context. And there's little doubt that academia needs to be fully supporting government and industry in achieving these objectives. But as I say, in aviation terms, 2050 is just around the corner. I believe we need to be much more forward-thinking in setting out our long-term vision and research for the next 50 years and beyond and start preparing for it now. We need to position ourselves for a very different world, a world where we have depleted our energy resources as we know them today, a world in which we communicate with each other quite differently, a world where our connections with space has really happened, and a world where people's concept of travel will be hugely different. We hear a lot about the next technology revolution in aerospace, new materials, new levels of autonomy, new electrification, powering our aerospace platforms. We really are looking at something transformational. We're at an inflection point. But in order to get the most out of them, we need to look at these technology developments in the context of the challenges the world faces. On a personal level, I recently had the great privilege to go to Washington to attend, as part of a DIT-led UK mission, the third Uber Elevate conference. It was all very glitzy and very much, I have to say, an Uber sales and marketing pitch. But there was a vision, a company vision of bringing together air vehicle developers, regulators, infrastructure developers to create an ecosystem for 3D ride sharing in the same context of building on the existing 2D ground-based Uber taxi. Uber taxis into the air. From my perspective, you could question some of the assumptions, but the scale of the thinking and the vision and the joining up of the different elements of the system was outstanding. It was supported by US senators, by government departments, by NASA. Companies from across the globe were all dancing to Uber's music, with Uber conducting the orchestra. And it struck me that this is what we need in the UK, a big picture vision. All our stakeholders joined up across the ecosystems. Our problem is we don't have an integrator. We don't have an Uber. We have world-leading technology contributors of the various sub-elements, but we don't have something that pulls it together. And this, to my mind, is where the Industrial Strategy Challenge Fund and the Future of Flight Challenge can play a key role, creating the proxy to integrate the players across the ecosystem and giving the chance for industry and academia to come together to create a vision for the future. The vision for 2050 acknowledges the various challenges of the environment, zero emission, of autonomy, of new ways of getting around our city, but it doesn't provide the answer how we might put this in place. And I fear we might be moving too slowly and that we're losing the opportunity. The research from universities and business is being put in place to support the technology revolution of these challenges. But there are a new group of stakeholders that all need to work together. And there is nobody doing that. The Future of Flight Challenge is exactly the right thing to be doing. But as I say, I fear it may be too slow, lacking ambition, and where we maybe had a lead 2 years ago, others are catching up very, very quick. Different government departments need to work together in a joined-up way that they've never done before. I think the current industrial strategy goes further than perhaps we've seen in the past. But how does the aerospace sector deal sit with Aviation 2050? How does Aviation 2050 sit with the DEFRA environment plan? We say the environment is a key priority, and yet if we look, for example, at DEFRA's 25-year environment plan, there is no mention of the words aerospace, aviation, or airport. We need to be much more integrated in our thinking. Let me talk just for a few minutes about my own place of work, Cranfield University. Aerospace and aviation is in our DNA at Cranfield. We are the only university in the world, I assert, with the combination of our own airport, runway, aircraft, pilots, and perhaps most uniquely, our own air navigation service provider. Cranfield University wishes to play its full and academic part in supporting the 2050 vision and the future of flight. And I think with the various assets we have through our global research airport, the UK's research airport, and our Living Lab campus, we can play a key role. Aviation is about to go through a transformational change as a result of aircraft designs and operating concepts. But more than ever before, we need to be working together. We need to be developing new platforms alongside new infrastructure, including new digital communications, new regulatory issues that kind of incorporate the new technologies. Even more significantly, aviation doesn't stand alone. It needs to be considered as an important part of a much more integrated transport vision, integrated into the overall transport network of cities and regions. I put it to you, the UK needs a centre of aviation research and development to support the government's aim to maintain its position in the world's aerospace and aviation business rankings. And I believe Cranfield offers a unique environment to do that and bring those interconnected capabilities together. Technology development will be central to it, but it is so important to develop the new infrastructure, business processes, and regulations alongside that. New zero emission technologies, whether it be electric or hydrogen or biofuels, all depend upon new infrastructure sitting alongside those technology developments. Improving the interoperability between the many systems that exist is one of the key strengths that Cranfield is bringing as well. Data sharing, secure flow of data information will be key into this. And we're very pleased at Cranfield to have had the support of Research England with companies like Thales and Saab to develop our new Digital Aviation Research Technology Center. Indeed, across the university and research network, we have world-class large-scale facilities that we can bring together. What we need to do now is to find good, effective ways to leverage them for the joint benefit of UK business that exists across the university network. The UK Aerospace Research Consortium, which we have recently put in place, is a national consortium of leading aerospace universities, which I believe can provide the global aerospace community with a centralized point of engagement to the UK's top university aerospace research capabilities. I think it's really important that that is seen in the broader aerospace, aviation, and infrastructure context. There is much being done by universities. There is much being done by business. But there is so much more that can be done by joining up universities, business, and government. If we want to realize the significant economic and societal benefits, then we need to work together, collaboration on a scale we've never done before. We need to do it now, we need to do it quickly. We need to address 2050 in the context of what the future beyond that may look like and start preparing for that. Zero carbonisation, in my view, must be a key priority. And we must ensure that that doesn't just limit ourselves to platform thinking in that. It must extend into infrastructure and the regulatory environment in which we work. We must see the opportunities of things like the Industrial Strategy Challenge Fund, Future of Flight, as key to this. But we need to move quicker, and we need to work with ambition and size and make that count for us. If we can do all of that, then I believe the technology leaps that we all know, see, and talk about will result in the economical, the environmental, and social benefits we aspire to, and that the challenges and opportunities through Future of Flight can be realised. And as of next week with the new government, give the UK a real success story that we can go out and tell. Thank you very much.